Book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 1. I've titled this, Not of Men, Not of Men. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Do you see that? By whom do you receive your gospel? Sadly, how many sit in church throughout lands today receiving as such the gospel by men and not of God? I can tell you that in truly receiving the gospel, the man disappears. You might say he becomes invisible, and the gospel, Christ, comes forth. In almost all churches, the gospel is preached by a man, chosen man. I preached in some churches, they hand out flyers and what they want in a preacher, and like a resume. It's all man-centered. I'd hope you to know that man never called me to preach the gospel. I was called by God, and God alone. I've never been called by man in any way concerning this very ministry. God charged me with this ministry. Many years ago, he charged me with preaching the gospel. Many years ago. And I had thought that, you go through this avenue and this avenue and this road, and all of those roads were shut down to me, thankfully, by God, because I wasn't chosen by man. I was chosen by God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:15, he that is spiritual is judged of no man. And I can't emphasize this enough. I'd recommend that you go back and read in the book of John of the woman caught in the very act of adultery. The very act of adultery. It's an incredible thing. Because it was the law. She was caught in the Jewish law. She's caught. In the Old Testament, she was to be stoned. Caught in the very act of adultery. But I'd ask you to remember what it was that Jesus asked her after the accusers left. He said, "Woman, where are those thine accusers?" And he said to her, "Hath no man condemned thee?" And her reply, "No man, Lord. No man. Not a man. No man." What a glorious, glorious thing. No man can condemn you or I if we be in Christ. The letter says she's guilty, that she must be stoned. She had to die. But Jesus says what? In John 8:11, he said, "Neither do I condemn thee." Now let me say, if you've never encountered such in Christ, I'd have a hard time believing that you're any of his. "Neither do I condemn thee. Where are those thine accusers?" Do you see? Only those who've experienced such could even know it is what it is I speak. Perhaps you say, and I've had many say this through the years, I was good. I never was wild. I was good. I'd ask you to remember the knowledge of good and evil. Yes, good, but only in the fallen knowledge. Only in the doctrine of men. In Christ, I'm judged of no man, only God. Just as this woman caught in adultery. Who'd she end up being judged? By Christ. We shall all be only judged by Christ. Grace was Christ's judgment. Grace as his judgment. Now you either get condemnation or grace. There's no middle place to go there. And of course, at the last, Jesus, he tells this woman caught in adultery. And he tells her something that's very, very seldom spoken of. He said, go and sin no more. Oh, she can't do that, they would cry. Then do to this day. Why would he tell her that? Well, he didn't mean it literally. Well, with man's knowledge of good and evil, you're correct. With man's knowledge of good and evil, she couldn't do that. But in Christ, such is surely possible. All things are possible. In the spirit, not the letter. Now, I won't dwell on this morning, but make no mistake, the Spirit is not a license to sin. It's anything but. The Spirit has with it the fruit of righteousness. God's righteousness. This calling of God which I received it's much like it was when I received the new birth. This newness need not judgment. It thrives not by the knowledge of good and evil, which man received in his fall. What man deems and what man deems, and you might say the letter, but by the Spirit and union of God. You say, well, the letter, that's the law, it's of God. Well, yes, it is. It had to be there. Who's it for? It was for sinners. And he had to have the letter because of that knowledge of good and evil. He was dealing with men. But to those in Christ, the Bible says, but you are not in the flesh. Does your Bible say that? But in the Spirit, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Almost every ministry I've been involved in was by the letter. In defense of such, the laws for sinners. And most were and still are exactly that. Oddly, the first to cry away with the letter are sinners. And why not? It condemns them. Paul says in Romans 7, verse 9, if you recall the text, he says, sin revived, and I died. You want a synopsis of my testimony? That's Romans 7, 9, right there. Sin revived, and I died. Sin revived, and I died. Now, I'll not go at this hour into an explanation, but those who hear such, those who know that, there's no explanation needed. It's intriguing to me that so many, those that are of man, they have to explain everything. They feel bound to try to explain the Word of God. They must. But the man of God that's thoroughly furnished, he need not an explanation. The life which I now live in the flesh, in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Amen. In our text, Paul said, but the Baptist came in and with another, I'm sorry. But others came in with another gospel. You see, verse 6 through verse 9 in Galatians 1, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you. It's not another because they came in with the letter. They came in with the law. And would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Paul saw this thing, this letter. Well, now we must overturn Christ. Now we need to stone the adulterer. Now we need to stone the drunkard. Now we need to stone the divorced man, the divorced woman. Away with him. But you see in verse 10, Paul says, but do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You can go, I'd say, at this hour to about any church in the land you can find, and you can hear a man-pleasing gospel being preached at this hour. And why not? The one speaking, so-called, is by man. He was called by man. If he was called by God, he'd be preaching what God gave him to preach. And he'd be living by what God gave him. And he'd be leading by what God gave him. Do you not always please the one that called you? That brought you? That hired you, perhaps? In verse 11, Galatians 1, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me, not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This could not be more true. In my case, I did. I went to a Bible school, a well-known Bible school. I didn't stay terribly long. You might say Galatians 1. What I bring to you at this hour was not by anyone but God. The very words that I inked upon the paper that I'm now looking at, by God and God alone. I wasn't sitting in front of some computer screen. I knew a preacher, and he had two or three or four come. You go into his office and he's surrounded by these computer screens. Wasn't hard to see where his gospel came from. What I speak to you is only the word of God led by the Spirit of God. Now, perhaps you're not called to preach. It certainly seems the case. I've prayed and sought that perhaps God would call some of you. And you've heard me speak so many times to those of you, I'd ask, how many talents were you given? Now we're getting personal. How many talents? You've heard, I've wore the scripture out, your cross and your talents and your gifts. But he gave talents, did he not? You remember the story. He gave to one 5 and one 2 and to another 1. I'd ask you, how many talents were you given? Now you hear this very carefully. And what have you done with them? Now listen, you don't have to be in the spirit to raise kids or keep house. You do not. Many people do these things daily, and they are certainly not in the spirit. You don't have to be in the spirit to be a carpenter, as our Lord was, or even a tent maker, as Paul. Any natural man or woman can do all of these things very adequately, perhaps better than one called in the spirit. And so I've preached this talents for years and years upon what seems to be deaf ears. But God says you'll be called upon for your talents, for your gain of such. What have you done with your talents? We have the faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. It's filled with examples. Where have you gone and what have you done in the faith whereby you were called? I'm not talking to preachers. Where have you gone and what have you done with the faith whereby you were called? I've spoken so many times going to church on Sunday. That's not qualification. That's not what I'm speaking of. We're here to hear the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, to receive the charge. But the church is a body. So few even know what the church is. A simple question. Okay? God couldn't make it more simple. He made it very simple in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Everybody says, amen, it's a body. What do you do for this body? What is it that you do? You've just assented that the church is a body. Amen. What do you do for the body? I've never seen one wash feet. Now don't everybody run out and get a pail and a towel. What do you do for the body? Are you a useless body part? I'm going to tell you, you get my age and you'll find out none of them are useless. And a lot of them turn on you. Are you those you just show up and cry, I'm in the body? That's why we sold the building in town so many years ago. The preacher mowed the grass and the preacher's wife cleaned the church for 20 years. That's a body? Is that a body? Is that a family? Is this work that we have, this small, is that a family? Are we a family? Sort of like natural families, you don't hear, you don't see. I'm asking you, is this a body? Do you operate by the Spirit by which you are called in Christ Jesus? Or as a man by the knowledge of good and evil given by the fall? Cain did that, though his propensity was more toward the evil. God looks not for good and evil, but for spiritual. For spiritual. The interest of his investment on Calvary. It behooves you to go back and read the parable of the talents. Because he made a great investment on Calvary. Now what have you done with that inheritance, with that investment? Are we yet in the foundation or are we building upon such? What have you done with your talents, sir? Ma'am, what have you done with your talents? Yes, women too. Throughout the Word of God. Please don't bury them. I read my Bible. I pray. I go to meeting on Sunday. Please don't bury them. Put them to use in the glorious liberty that is Christ Jesus, not in that which is of man. Now, I had this word, and I had finished a book that some of you, Brother Travis just finished it. He texted me last night, a letter to the church. And I went back and looked at Bonhoeffer's Book of Ethics. And in this book, that the letter to the church, written by a Greek man, Eric Metaxas. And he likens these talents in a way that in an area that I hadn't seen. So I'm looking at some notes. I made some notes after this word. They weren't for this word, but I feel compelled that this goes together. The talents that he's given us, he's made us in his image. Pretty serious talents. If you're born again in the Spirit of Christ, you are remade into his image. And with this knowledge of good and evil, as we judge him, Christ, as we judge God, you say, yes, we judge ourselves. Because as we see him and say we are, we judge him. We say, this is what he is like. Do you ever think about that? Uh-oh. What an astonishing power that he gives us in Christ. And in Bonhoeffer's Book of Ethics, those in Christ, those that have been born again, act not by the knowledge of good and evil. They act by the will of God. As the first Adam, it was all by the will of God. Now, I hope that you're putting this together with the word that we've just heard and with the talents. Everything in Christ is the Spirit, not the letter. The Spirit. The knowledge of good and evil is a disunion with God by the letter. But union with God is by the Spirit, and it's aside from the knowledge of good and evil. The knowledge of good and evil by man. Well, I think this is right. Boy, if you ever get a church together, you'll figure that out. I believe this is right, and I believe this is right, and I believe this is right. And we believe this is wrong, and this is wrong. By man. But the Spirit's by God. Would you not say the woman caught in adultery we spoke of? Oh, we caught this woman in adultery. Well, we should stone her. Yeah, we should. Yes, we have the law right here. Here's the Bible. What does it say? You can read it. It shall be stoned. Do you start to see now the liberty that is in Christ Jesus? The awesome responsibility we've been given in Christ Jesus, aside from the knowledge of good and evil, what it is we're to do, how to do, where to do, when to do. Go get you some corn out of the field. Oh, we can't do that. There was a man. God said, kill him. All he did was light a fire. The letter. Well, I'd ask you, what did Jesus do on the cross? He took all that. How could he do? Well, he took our sins. No sin, no letter. Do you see? Are you of men or of Christ?